So today is April 13th, 2016. We're here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly lunch and learn. And today we are going to focus on one aspect of Pesach, specifically the Haggadah, and that is matzah. What is or why do we eat matzah? Specifically, we're going to focus on some of the symbolism of matzah. So I'm going to start by handing out two handouts. We'll send them both around this way. Everyone kindly take one and then pass them around. Okay, and here comes the second packet. The first packet actually is a packet of pages. The second is one double-sided sheet.
If you keep these, can you throw these away or you cannot?
Some of them have God's name, so you shouldn't throw them away. I'll just take care of them. If you want to keep them, then certainly the stuff that has God's name, you should not throw away. Okay, so when it comes to matzah, in Devarim, in the book of Devarim, actually, let's look this up. Everyone, open up their Chumash to Sefer Devarim, Perek Tet Zion. So that's Devarim 16, Deuteronomy 16. And this is where the Torah tells us to observe Pesach. So we'll start at the beginning of the perek, the beginning of the chapter. Shamor et chodesh ha'aviv, v'asita pesach la'Hashem Elokecha, ki b'chodesh aviv hotziyacha Hashem Elokecha mimitzrayim laila. Observe the month of Aviv and offer a Passover sacrifice to the Lord your God. For it was in the month of Aviv at night that the Lord your God freed you from Egypt. V'zavachta pesach la'Hashem Elokecha. So we're supposed to observe. So then how do we observe? By doing the following. V'zavachta pesach la'Hashem Elokecha tzonu v'akar b'makom ha'she'evchar Hashem l'shachein shemo sham. First, you shall slaughter the Passover sacrifice for the Lord your God from the flock and the herd. And then, that's what you're supposed to do. And what are we not supposed to do? Lo tochal alav chametz shivat yamim. You shall not eat anything leavened with it. For 7 days thereafter, tochal alav matzot lechem oni. For 7 days thereafter, you shall eat unleavened bread, bread of distress, lechem oni. Ki b'chipazon yatzata me'eretz Mitzrayim. For you departed from the land of Egypt hurriedly. L'man tezkor et yom tzeitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim ko yimei chayecha. So that you may remember the day of your departure from the land of Egypt as long as you live. So this Pasuk Gimel, the third verse here, introduces something new to our understanding of matzah. Matzah, in the book of Exodus, where the story of the Yitziat Mitzrayim, of the leaving Egypt and the slavery is recorded, does not refer to matzah there as lechem oni. Does not refer to it as the bread of distress, as our translation is, or the bread of affliction, as is translated in many other sources and in the Haggadot. But all of a sudden here in Devarim, this new term, lechem oni, is introduced. Now, let's try to understand at first, at least to start with, what lechem oni means, right? What it refers to in the verse. Again, we have a new phrase that's introduced, title for matzah that's introduced in Devarim. And let's look at the pasuk and try to answer the question: why are we supposed to eat lechem oni?
What's it called the first time?
Where is it? Matzah. Yeah, just plain matzah. Back in Exodus, we go back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 8, for example. Page Exodus 12:8. You can see matzah referred to there. That is on page 135. That's maror.
Right.
But here we're talking about matzah. Yeah, because the Karban Pesach had to be eaten with maror as well. They shall eat the flesh that same night. They shall eat it roasted over fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. So it's just referred to as matzah. And here in Devarim, we have a new phrase introduced, lechem oni.
But it also says, it talks about Devarim, it hints at the idea that there was no time for the unleavened bread to rise. It's because you, chipazon, you quickly you left
the right. So it seems, right, that from the straightforward reading of the verse, the reason why we have to eat this lechem oni is because we left quickly out of Mitzrayim, right? That's what the pasuk says. Shivat yamim tochal alav matzot lechem oni. For 7 days you should eat with it matzah, the bread of distress. Ki bechipazon yatzatim Mitzrayim. Because, right, the reason you have to eat this lechem oni is because you left Egypt in a quick way, okay? Now, others, in other places, people, other sources say that lechem oni doesn't refer, so here, let's just back up. What does lechem oni refer to then? What is lechem oni referring to in this pasuk in Devarim? Why do we have to eat lechem oni? You just said it. No, it doesn't say that. What does it say in the pasuk? Because we left Egypt in a hurry. So what is left? So then, therefore, if we have to eat this matzah to remember that we left Egypt in a hurry, so then what is matzah? Matzah is the bread we ate when we were leaving Egypt. Not in Egypt. Not in Egypt. When we left Egypt. We have a problem because at the beginning of the Haggadah, what do we say? One of the first things we say, Halach ma'anya da'achla avatana bi'ara dimitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction, lechem oni in Aramaic, lach ma'anya, that we ate while we were in Egypt. So we have these two conflicting ideas already floating around as to exactly when did we eat this lechem oni.
Different
people. By the rabbis.
Some you know.
We have this, but it's still they're changing, right? Here we have the notion that it was when we left Mitzrayim. And if you ask a child, or not even a child, you read the Haggadah, when did we eat matzah? While we were in Egypt, right? Now it's possible it's both, right? But here it seems to be telling us that the reason why we have to eat matzah is because we ate it while we were leaving Mitzrayim. Okay, if you say that the reason we eat matzah is because we ate it while we were in Mitzrayim, then this pasuk becomes a little hard to understand.
Okay.
Right, because this pasuk says we ate matzah.
We were leaving.
Okay, so that's just an interesting question to keep in mind. There are some answers. Maybe we'll get to them afterwards. But I want to look at two different approaches to matzah. Each dealing with a different way to see matzah. Again, one way to see matzah. So this is the key. What does matzah represent according to what we just read in Devarim?
Freedom,
right? Matzah represents freedom. According to the Halach Manya in the Haggadah, what does matzah represent?
Slavery.
That's totally two different ways of looking at what we think about matzah.
Yeah, but the term they use is lechem oni. It's not a positive connotation.
Well, here it's not negative. It's just saying we had to eat it because we had to run away quickly. It's not positive or negative. The fact of the matter is we were running out of Egypt. We had no time to bake bread. So this is what we got.
Doesn't mean bread.
It's lechem of oni, of distress. What was the distress? We were being rushed.
Oni is poverty.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we understand it, but that's not what the pasuk seems to indicate. This is not about poverty. This is about being rushed.
It's not like it was a lavish bread that we prepare.
Right.
That's what they mean.
We had that problem while we were in Egypt, we didn't have the luxury of making it. So it is the bread of our distress.
Correct. That's just not what the Torah says. It's possible.
That's what the Haggadah.
Correct. Absolutely. Correct. Correct. Exactly.
Again, I think they were kind of generalizing. We're saying, until the salvation was completed, we were still subject to Egyptian rule. We were still slaves because we had the fear where Paro kept changing his mind. He let us go. We still weren't free.
Okay, good.
Because
right.
He changed his mind. The freedom was complete. Our escape was complete only after Yom Kippur,
right.
Egyptian rule.
Okay. All right. So let's go. Let's look at these two different approaches to matzah. First, we're going to look at the approach of Rabbi Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, and that's in the packet that you have in front of you. Okay, not the single sheet, the packet. It says it's page 135 on the top. Okay. So let's see what he says about matzah. First, we'll start on the bottom of the page. The pasuk is the pasuk above. Then they shall eat the meat in that night, roast with fire, with unleavened bread, and bitter herbs are they to eat it. Okay? Go to the bottom of the page. On this freedom-bringing night, they themselves are to receive back the lives they were ready to sacrifice. But, sli eshu matzot, etc., but only roasted directly in the fire. Okay, this is not for us. Next sentence. The meaning of matzot and mirorim is clear. Just as at the moment of the Exodus, their oppressors did not grant them
time
even to leaven the bread, because they were being rushed out, and so they had to take it out with them as matzah. That really references the verse that we just read in Devarim, right? That's why it's unleavened. So during the whole period of their slavery, they did not get time even for leavening their bread. Like you said, the whip of the overseer and the breathless rush of the overwhelming labor was always behind them and only permitted the quickest and easiest preparation of their food. So matzah is the real bread of slaves, and we still refer to it as the bread of affliction, which our forefathers ate in Egypt. Hence, it is definitely the symbol of avdut, of slavery. So, Rabbi Hirsch at this point is not talking about the verse in Devarim. He's talking about the verses in Shemot in Exodus, where we eat the matzah, because Rabbi Hirsch has a question. Why would we mix matzah and maror? Because if matzah is a symbol of, according to Devarim,
freedom, you don't need to.
Why am I eating it with maror, which is a symbol of
slavery?
I'm mixing my symbolisms. And if I'm supposed to have clear, the use of symbolism at the Seder is supposed to help me clarify what's going on, why would I mix matzah, which I recall I ate when I was leaving, with maror, which is clearly supposed to recall the bitterness of slavery. So says Rav Hirsch, the answer is, because matzah is not only about freedom, meaning the same rush that we had when we were leaving, we had while we were there.
Before,
we had while we were there.
We worked so hard, we didn't have time to stop.
Like they rushed us out, and therefore we didn't have a chance to let our bread rise, they also put pressure on us in Egypt, and therefore we had very little time to prepare our meals, and so we didn't have time to let our bread to rise. We simply mixed flour and water, pounded it down, stuck it in the oven, and ate it as soon as it was baked, much like you do with matzah today. So that's, again, Rav Hirsch is stuck. That's why he has to say this, which is also makes sense, like as what you said, and also in terms of halachmania at the beginning of the Haggadah. Right? Why? How can we possibly say that matzahs will be ate in Mitzrayim if the Torah clearly says in Devarim it's ate when we left Mitzrayim? Well, then we're stuck because by having the matzah and the maror, they must symbolize similar things. Okay. Yes.
But they're separating Passover by saying it's leavened unleavened bread.
Right.
So it's like you do that attitude. You had unleavened bread all the way through, so you're not really separating Passover. You're not separating Passover. You have unleavened bread all the time.
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good point. Right. Yeah. What's the distinction between the Exodus and the actual time in slavery if you want to claim that we had matzah? Well, the difference is because while they were in Egypt, they were allowed to have chametz. And they were allowed to keep chametz and benefit from chametz. But now we can't. That's the difference.
Okay.
Okay. Now let's go on and see something else in Hirsch. In the packet, turn the page over to where it says 141, second paragraph. This is the copy is bad because the print in the actual book was bad. Okay. We have already understood matzah to be the expression of avdut, as we just explained, okay, of slavery. Now, what is slavery? Of social dependence. That's interesting. This is the way Hirsch is going to understand slavery. What is slavery? Social dependence. Chametz is the opposite of matzah. Chametz is accordingly the expression of social independence. Okay. The Pesach day is to be lezikaron, a reminder for us, is ever again to bring back afresh in our minds the moment in which we obtained freedom and independence, and never to let us forget the ways and means by which we achieve freedom and independence. So this is a question. This is really, your question was good before, Eddie, but now Rav Hirsch is setting up a straw man, but at first he's really blowing up chametz, blowing up Pesach. Pesach is supposed to remind us of our freedom. So then why do we eat matzah? Which reminds us of our slavery. Pesach should be the holiday when we have to eat chametz.
Let's do it.
Right? Because if matzah represents, what does matzah represent? That we were totally under the thumb of the Egyptians. We didn't have time to bake. Even when we were leaving, they were forcing us out. But chametz, which is the independence, time, and if Pesach is celebrating my freedom, what do we say in the holiday? What is Pesach? Zman? Cheruteinu. Then I should be eating chametz on Pesach, not matzah. Okay? If you leave now, you're going to be in trouble. So what does Hirsch say? Hirsch says something very, very powerful. He says, that is why the day that brings back to us our arising to freedom and independence introduces a whole cycle of days, not with the sign of freedom, which is chametz, but with abolishing the symbol of independence. This is really, it's amazing what he does. Shivat Yamim, 7 days, a whole cycle of days we are not allow ourselves any bread of independence. More on the day which we achieve independent personalities and independent homes, we are to clear out from all our homes the specific symbol of social independence. And then throughout 7 days, we may not nourish ourselves with the bread of independence, but must remind ourselves and thereby express the fact that at the moment of our arising to freedom and independence, neither in our persons nor in our possessions, was there the slightest trace of independence, okay, or even the ability to achieve independence? We were still in complete lack of freedom and utter lack of power. And it was only the free, directing, and commanding power of God which allowed us to arise to freedom and independence. This is really powerful. Just when you think, Hirsch says, that you've achieved independence, which means you could do everything on your own, we take away the one symbol of independence that you have, chametz, and make you eat that very symbol of dependence, but now we're switching allegiances, right? At chametz, matzah used to mean we were enslaved to the Egyptians, And now what does matzah mean? Matzah means we recognize that without God's help, we would never have gotten out of Mitzrayim. It takes this, it's amazing. The same symbol that, which represented the type of servitude which was destructive is supposed to remind us of a servitude which is constructive.
Yep. And it's in line with the story. When we're at the sea and the Egyptians are coming, Moshe tells the people, shut up. God's going to handle this. After we cross, we never get that message again. Now you've got to do for yourself. You have to fight Amalek. You have to go into the land. And when they don't, God is very upset. You have to take. But before they actually cross the sea, it's all in God's hands.
Although at one point, God says to Moshe, Lama titzakelai? Why are you crying to me? Daber b'nei shel vayisau. Just go. Right. So it's not entirely the case, but I understand what you're saying. That's what Hirsch is explaining, that because otherwise we have a big problem. Why are we only eating matzah on Pesach?
Is that the same explanation? Would he use that for the maror also?
So that's a good question about the maror.
Yeah.
Right? Well, the difference is, no, because really Hirsch is not saying, Hirsch is saying, why is chametz prohibited? Why is chametz prohibited? Chametz is prohibited because chametz represents independence. And lest you think, it's putting a little bit of a leash on Pesach. Lest you think that Pesach is the holiday where we threw off the yoke of any responsibility, it's not. It's like the difference between freedom from and freedom to, right? We're free from Egypt, which gives us the freedom to follow God. And so that's why chametz continues to be prohibited on Pesach. So for Hirsch, it is. So for Hirsch, bread is actually what he would call lechem avdut, right? But avdut to who? To Hashem. Right? It's avdut to Hashem.
Can you explain the 7 day? Why 7 days?
Well, Hirsch says a complete cycle, a unit, right? We have different units. We have a month, we have a year, and a day, but we have also a unit. A week is considered a complete unit. So it's as if the Torah is saying, in one complete unit of your life, you have to spend all that 7 days, all that unit, remembering and living the transition from Avdut to Mitzrayim to Avdut to Hashem. And so it's a complete unit of time.
49 days.
Okay. Now, contrast Hirsch.
Thank God.
Contrast Hirsch with the Maharal Miprag, which you have on the independent separate sheet that I gave you. This is really a very, very powerful explanation. This is all in Hebrew. I'll translate as I go. Okay, this is on page, starting on page 4. It's the single side, the double-sided page, page 4, bottom paragraph. Hamatzah nikra lechem oni, hefech matzah ashira. Right? The matzah is called the bread of affliction, which is the opposite of matzah ashira is
enriched.
Enriched, right? Something made, right? Exactly. Now, matzah ashira in halachic terminology is something else, but here I think it means, like you said, enriched. V'zeh ki ha'ani. This is a beautiful idea. V'zeh ki ha'ani she'ein lo ela atzmo, ve'ein lo mamon rak atzmo v'gufo. What's the definition of a poor person? A poor person has nothing. All they have no money. All they have are themselves. V'hamatzah kasher ein ba rak etzem ha'isa. Matzah that only has in it the essential, just the dough. She'atzmut ha'isa hu hamayim v'hakemach. The essence of bread is water and flour. Bazeh have lechem oni. That's why matzah is called lechem oni. Because just like an oni only has its simple, most essential elements, himself or herself, so too matzah only has the essential elements, bread, flour, and water. So. Again, so then, why am I eating matzah when I'm celebrating my freedom? V'halo shnei hafechim heim, hacherut v'aniyut. They seem to be opposites. Hello, same question the Hirsch was asking. Hello, davar ze ein kasha. It's not a question, not difficult. Ki ha'aniyut ba'atzmo hora'a al ha'geula. This is conceptually, poverty and redemption are the same thing. She'ein inyan ha'geula rak she'yotzei ve'ein lo shum tziruf. What is redemption? What is freedom? Separating yourself from a forced connection to somebody else. Right? When you're a slave, you're forcibly connected to your master. El zulato. Lo kmo ha'eved she'eino omed ba'atzmo. A slave has no standing on their own. V'yesh lo tziruf el zulato. Hu ha'adom. A slave has a forced relationship to the master. V'kach ha'davar she'yesh bo ashirut. So something that has that enriched nature is not independent. So what does a rich person have these connections to? All of the things they own, all their investments, all the things they're worried about, right? Pirkei Avot says, marbed nechasim, marbed da'aga. The more things you have, the more worries you have. So it's, again, it's conceptually, right? No one's suggesting that poverty is good. But conceptually, poverty is simple.
Simplifying.
There's nothing else but except the person. They have no belongings. They have no money. Matzah is also simple. It's just the bread and the water. And redemption also simplifies things. It disconnects you from anything. Aval hadavar, flip the page. Sheyesh bo aniyut ve'ein lo kinyan rak omed ba'atzmo shayach bo geula. But on the other hand, something that that's defined by poverty, therefore has no acquisitions and just stands on its own, is conceptually connected to redemption. Ki ilu hayah matzah shehi lechem oni more al bnei adam shein bnei chorim hayalacha lishol v'halo ein aniyut siman chirut klal. Right, had the matzah, which is the bread of affliction, symbolized a person that is free, you would ask, V'halo ein aniyut siman cheirut klal. How could this bread of affliction be a symbol of freedom? Aval lechem oni hazeh baal etzem hayitziyah lecheirut. The lechem oni symbolizes the essential move to freedom. The essential move to freedom, really is about disconnecting. When there are no connections, that's when you find geula. So for the Maharal, what is matzah? The bread of chirut, of freedom. Because real freedom is represented by that simplicity. That ability to say, I'm really my own person, and I have no forced connections, or maybe no connections at all, right, to anyone else. Again, it's an extreme idea, and no one lives that way. No one lives completely disconnected, but conceptually, it's very powerful.
But it doesn't explain why we say that we ate in the land of Egypt, because then it would symbolize connection.
Correct. That's what I'm not sure if he's accepting that. I think he's looking at it differently. He's saying,
so he wouldn't say
it's B'chit Pazot. Oh, I'm not sure if he would say it. He would understand it differently.
He understands.
Right? It's that we're leaving. That's what he goes back to Devarim and say, now, he's the one who's more true to the verse in Devarim. Why does the verse in Devarim say that this is the bread I ate when I was leaving? Because it represents cutting my ties. Just like the bread represents cutting ties with leaven and anything else you're going to put on the bread. It's just its purest, most independent, and thereby a free state. Go ahead.
No. That's really good.
Okay.
Well, yes or no, because when you're so stripped down to nothing, Sometimes you just don't have the power to.
That's why it's a it's a conceptual idea. I think if taken to an extreme, it's I agree with you.
I was a betar.
Okay, let's look at the look at the second to last paragraph on page 5. Let's look at the second to last paragraph on page 5, and this is from Rav Avraham Wolfson from Yeshiva Birkat Moshe. Im nitbonein b'machloket, page 5, second to last paragraph. Im nitbonein b'machloket ha-parshanit ha-kitzonit ben Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch u-ben ha-maharal. Right, they're on opposite ends. Remember, what did Rav Hirsch say? Rav Hirsch said that it connects us
to our affliction.
Okay, so let's see.
Slavery.
Right? Bahavanat inyan mamatza kim midumani sheniglasha hevdel na'utz beikar betfisah shona biyachas musag hayetziah lecherut. There seems to be a fundamental difference about freedom. Rav Hirsch midaber al atzmut sotzialit, right? Social freedom. Dahainu al cherut b'muvan hachevrati v'hamaasi asher ein archo ela k'emtza'i l'avodat Hashem. Why are we freed from the Egyptians? Like I said, so that we can serve Hashem. We go from freedom from to freedom to. Okay? However, v'lachein ein l'ot b'mitzvot ha-matzah semel l'inyan zeh la'atzmo. The matzah itself is not a symbol of freedom. She'eino ela matana k'kol davar gashmi she'enik ha-borei b'chesto l'borav. Matzah is a gift from Hashem. V'tafkidenu hu ladat laharich matana zo v'lasot b'ashimush l'shem shamayim. So matzah is just like, why does her say the matzah represents the service of Hashem? Because we're supposed to remember that the whole Yitziat Mitzrayim, the whole Exodus from Egypt, was a big gift from Hashem. And so too, the bread doesn't symbolize anything per se. It's one of the gifts that we have. And therefore, and we're supposed to remember where it came from and serve Hashem.
Obviously, it symbolizes the spirituality here.
It symbolizes the ability.
He needs to explain it to the people. And people need something. Mufashi, how do you say it in English?
Physical.
Physical. So that's why they need the object.
Right.
But he really did not mean about
any object should be that, right. L'umat zot, ha-maharal medaber al ha-cherut b'muvan ha-erchi. The Maharal is talking about freedom as a value. Ha-bitoy ha-pnimi v'ha-amot b'yoter shel nefesh ha-adam. Right? Freedom is the essential key value of a human being. B'muvan ha-zeh ein ha-cherut emtza'i l'davar acher. Right? For the Maharal, freedom is not a means to an end. Physical freedom for Hirsch was a means to serving Hashem. The Maharal is saying freedom is a value value in of itself. Elohi atzma ha-geula. That is the freedom is, period, the redemption. Kolzman she'hamania et ha'adam eino atzmiyuto v'rotzono shelo el ritzono shel acherim o dechafim chatzinoyim. Anytime someone's acceptance not to do something or inability or refraining. That's what the word is. Anytime someone's refraining from action is not because of their own decision, but rather based on an external force, right? Then ein hu ben chorin va'af ein avodato shleima. That person is not free. And therefore, their service is not complete because they're only doing it because someone told them to. Kimuvan shedargot rabot yeshnam bedavar zeh. Like I said, there are levels. Ben b'mishor halu'umi, ben b'mishor haprati. Also regarding individual freedom and national freedom. Yitziat Mitzrayim hayta techilat haderech shel Am Yisrael shebo zachal tkusha rishonit shel acherut. This was the beginning of the Jewish people's understanding of freedom and feeling of freedom. Matan Torah hagia kvar ledarga el yonayoter. When they got the Torah, they raised to another level. Al tikri charut ela cherut. Right? The real freedom came when we said na seven ishma, when we accepted Hashem. and the Torah. Uvelal haseder anu zochrim et hatzad halumi harishon shel yitzira lecherut. At the seder, remember our first step towards freedom. It's not the end. B'derech haruka el lecherut hashlema, shi hagula hashlema. In the long road to ultimate redemption. So the
he takes it much higher.
Now he's writing.
Whatever we think about is now forcing you not to take a bus on Shabbat. External forces.
I like
right.
I like that explanation because that also aligns with
which
the
one?
Maharal.
With his explanation saying the Maharal is more kind of aligned to what we should be thinking, because again, with the ultimate redemption, which we should always have in mind, you know, you have to have the ability when Elio comes up on his donkey, right? It's time to go.
Right.
Well, you know, I got my house, I got my car.
Right.
I've got my friends, my family here. It's difficult to leave. You can't leave. You have to be able to say, look, I'm cutting all ties. I'm ready to go at the moment.
Right, yeah. So I think it's a very, so it helps us understand different ways to view matzah, right? From the Maharal's perspective, matzah is about freedom, and freedom is an independent, self-standing value. For Rav Shimshon Ofral Hirsch, freedom is a means to an end, is a means to serve Hashem.
There are different levels in. You have to go through different levels.
That means to an end, I mean, freedom itself is not an independent value. There's no value in freedom, the Hirsch would argue, if you're not going to do something good with it. And maybe the Maharal would simply argue that the real definition of a human being is their ability to be just themselves. And that's what Daniel is talking about, that when you're at that point, then you could then... And then your service of Hashem is really complete, because if you really are free, totally free, and you choose to serve Hashem, then that service is perfect, because no one's telling you to do it.
The thing is, in other words, to move forward, to be more forward, and move forward, you got to know where you've been.
That's true. That's why we start the Haggadah with the negative aspects of being slaves in Egypt. We have to understand where we're going and what we have. We have to understand what we were missing, correct?
Actually, he made it a slave. We didn't have anything. We didn't have the connection.
No, we did. We had a connection in Egypt to our Adon. That's exactly the definition of slavery. Slavery is when you are tied to somebody else.
Yeah, but you still don't have anything. You were not.
But that's not how the Maharal is defining slavery. The Maharal is defining slavery as being tied against your will to something else. And therefore therefore freedom is when there's no connections. Total freedom is when no connections.
Is that the idea that we were slaves there, that was God's decision to make it easier on us to move away, because we didn't have anything.
Oh,
we had
yeah.
the period done. It's much.
Right, I mean, that's what we're. You know, the danger in that is saying, well, the only reason we chose God is because it sure as heck beat slavery in Egypt.
But we went out with a lot of riches,
right? Maybe. Which is again what the Maharal is fighting against. That's what the Maharal is fighting against.
With a lot of stuff.
But right? If you look at the.